Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678 to join in with the broadcast, to leave a message and leave us your thoughts. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Everyman Sports. That's one word, at Everyman Sports. And with me this week to go over week one of the NFL and a lot more other stuff is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, son.
Good, good, good. All right, so before we get into week one of the NFL, let's start with baseball. The Mets are starting. Already started a three-game series against the Nationals, and right now
Matt Harvey's on the hill.
Matt Harvey's on the hill. Currently, as of this recording, the Mets are losing 3-1. No big hits, just a lot of singles. Harvey's getting given up a lot of singles. He can't even say it's a lot of the distraction from all of this elbow stuff and the innings limit stuff. Although Harvey did take a 180, if you will. On the limit issue that he came out. Somebody said he failed the oral exam, but the written response, he succeeded.
This is a family show?
No, but basically meaning what he said to reporters was, oh, no, that's not what I meant.
I misspoke.
Pretty much.
Well, is that the new phrase?
Well, you've heard that 1,000 times over your life.
Right.
So Harvey came out and said, no. I want to pitch in the playoffs. I will be pitching in the playoffs, all this stuff. They still haven't publicly... They said that they had a plan to go over with Harvey with the Mets.
How come there's no swing counts for guys coming off that play every day?
I don't know. I think it's all ridiculous. But here's the thing. With Wheeler next year, don't even play around. Just be like, look, you're not going to start. For the first half of the year, basically. You're going to take it really, really easy.
Well, could he have told us this in April or May?
I don't know. You would think.
Started season in June?
I know, but it's a lot of rehashing, and right now, you know, the Mets took the first game of this big three-game series, 8-5 over the Nationals. They came back and did it against Max
Nationals
Scherzer.
Nationals are not a good team.
No.
Not a lot of flaws. Defense,
a lot of
offense.
Bullpen.
Bullpen nightmare.
Big time.
Ramos, they still pitch to these guys? What is it? It's like...
John Neese, he gave up a grand slam to...
No, but this guy's a Met killer.
I know he is.
Can
they all
eventually walk him? Everybody gets to hit. This is a... Is this exhibition or a professional sport?
I know, but to be fair, you know, the bases were loaded. How are you going to pitch around a guy with the bases loaded?
True.
But in any case, John Neese... he's only good the first time through the batting order, which leads me to believe that
for
the rest of...
the guys with the big beards aren't doing well. So maybe they both should shave, Parnell and Neese.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, Neese really, he's suited for either long relief or just bullpen work. Just bullpen work in
innings.
General. Three innings at the most, because that's the minimum you need to face the entire lineup. Because the first time through, he's good. Once he starts seeing them more than once that he starts to get in trouble. So right now, as of this recording, the Mets down 3-1 to the Nationals. Hopefully, they can continue their winning ways down there. Moving on to, because that's the big baseball story. I mean,
well, I think the Yankees' injuries are a big story here.
Piling up
late, and a team that really isn't that young, right? It's kind of got old players.
But it's not just the old players who are getting injured. Sabathia, yes, he's injured. Teixeira has been having issues, but now Nathan Eovaldi, their young pitcher, is injured, and he's going to be sidelined for a while. So this,
I heard he had Tommy John in high school.
A lot of these players get Tommy John surgeries very, very early.
Right.
Luckily for the Yankees, they're only a half game out. So, and they've got a big series against Toronto coming up. So they need to stay close for now. And then when they face them, if the Yankees hope to do anything, they need to beat Toronto.
Well, we'll see if they can do it without Jeter and without that great closer,
Rivera. Well, that's true. Well, we'll find out. So. It's going to be
Stay tuned.
Yes, absolutely. So that's for baseball for now. Moving on to football.
Big story.
When we thought they were done, the The New England Patriots are back in the news. So it's been reported by ESPN. Now, before, let's preface this with both sides, ESPN and the Patriots. Some can say that this report that came out was ESPN's way of getting back at the Patriots for, hey, you misrepresented what we did. You said you never, who was it, Chris Mortensen, he reported the 11 out of 12 footballs.
Right.
And they're saying, well, wait a minute, you never retract that story when it was obvious that it was an 11 out of 12 and he was, you know, kind of ignoring it and trying to move right. past that. So you could say on the one hand, ESPN sort of has a bone to pick with the Patriots.
Well, you know, Mortensen's role, I mean, him and Sheffer, is that the other
guy? Adam Schefter.
Yeah. So,
Schefter, whatever.
Yeah. So this is like a secret society, the NFL.
Right.
And we need these vessels to come out and either enlighten us, inform us, or who? It used to be Peter King of Sports Illustrated.
Right.
Like who makes these people the mouthpiece?
Just the media, because the media and the league have this intertwined
so they have
relationship.
No one else has.
Pretty much. So in any case. So you could say on the one hand, ESPN is a bone to pick. Well, on the other hand, this is reporting. This is their job. And when sources, including ex-coaches of the New England Patriots, they claim multiple sources from the Patriots,
right.
came and said that the Patriots not only had an extensive spygate, extensive library, some 40-odd games of defensive signals recorded, that it goes all the way back to when Drew Bledsoe was under center. And they specifically the, I think it's 2000, if I remember the report correctly, a 2000 preseason game against the Buccaneers, who they played a couple weeks later during the season. So they recorded that, and then they used that for the game. And basically they said, whoa, hey, what do we have here? Also, it's coming out, again, from multiple former New England Patriots sources that when the opposing team went out to warm up, that a low-level employee would go into the opponent's locker room and take the first 20 plays, the call sheet, the first plays call sheet, and do that. To the point where some people even knew about it. See, the thing is, it reminds me, if I may draw a parallel, between the Cosby thing.
Right.
Because for so many comedians, they were like, wait, you guys didn't know that this happened? And the NFL, all these coaches, wait, you guys didn't know that? Yeah, this happened. Yeah. So, but now it's finally coming to light.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering how much is illegal. Because I know game time, you can't use computers. You can only use the play sheet. It has to be a hard copy, per se. So there's not an advantage, allegedly, that way. But I'm thinking, if I tape all this, because you have the all 22, so you've got the eye in the sky filming, and if you can pick up other stuff on the sideline during you know, in research for the game, but don't actually use it in the game, but you use what you learn from people, is that illegal?
Well,
like because there's intelligence, there's scouting, and there's skullduggery or duggery.
Skullduggery, there is a fine line, but to the point where you're going into the common argument is, well, everyone does it.
Well, do you steal signs in baseball?
Some do, yeah.
Okay, can you peek at the catcher as a hitter?
You can. Barely. It's very difficult to do it very slyly, but
okay. So, I'm just trying to say what happens. You know, in poker, there's tells, there's false movements at the table to induce certain action. You know, how much of this goes on all the time in all different sports?
You're right. It happens. There's even a website, Your Team Cheats. Oh. And it goes through and basically...
Is that by one of these Madison groups?
No. It's actually from some guy, I don't know, he's very secretive as to who his allegiance are, but he's basically saying, everyone does it, stop blaming it on the Patriots, which already makes you think this might be a Patriot
fan. Now,
what
about Chip Kelly with his signaling and... With the, you know...
Oh, with the big placards that have like...
S8 or...
Yeah, well, but they do that... Yeah, they do that in the college ranks.
Right.
No,
so,
look...
I mean, frat guys trying to like figure out what other frats are doing?
The point is not, hey, everyone does it. Because yes, you would have to be really your head has to be in the sand to go, well, no, not everyone did, not my team.
So they play the villain role great.
They do, but also to the point where you're going into locker rooms
right. And
taking. And also, the other part of the report is that, as I said, this giant library, 40 games full.
Sure.
And all the evidence was destroyed. Well, now they're saying that, and I've said this from the beginning, right. That Goodell
right. Basically,
okay, this is a pretty big offense, but I'm going to take it easy on you. We'll get rid of all this. We'll say, hey, you got in trouble for this one thing. And he actually, they say that there was a secret, not a secret meeting, but a head coaches and owners only meeting in Florida in 2008 that said, look, this happens again. I'm coming down hard.
Well, I think that's why they give numerous charges to criminals when they arrest them. This way they can plea bargain down.
True.
So, I mean, the guy's a lawyer. It's a monopoly run by lawyers. You know, what are you going to do?
But I've said that the Deflategate punishment was directly involved from the Spygate punishment because you did it again.
Yeah.
You did it again.
Yeah, I know. But here's the problem. Goodell is the one that's issuing this discipline, and he's bad at it because there's a collective bargain agreement. Now, I don't know what there's no bargain agreement with the coaches.
True.
I mean, they're not unionized, but then you got to put the finger on management. Who puts the finger on management? Even the fans blame management. They don't want to blame the players.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because they see people who aren't necessarily qualified for a job.
This is the big side distraction here. Let's play ball.
Oh, I agree. But I'm just saying that as soon as, hey, we're done, oh, that's all done, we're fine with it, okay, we can move on, this comes out. And this is bigger than just a couple PSIs out of a ball.
Well, it's almost like politics in a way. Let's say the Patriots or Hillary Clinton. You know, they're amazing Teflon people. Things bounce off, things slide off, they deflect things. And it's still the only show in town. So
no, absolutely, the NFL is the biggest. It's the best. It's what everybody wants. Anybody who says this is bad PR for the league is silly because people are still going to watch.
Yeah.
People are especially going to watch on Thursday.
More popular in many ways than it ever was in American history.
True.
You know. No,
so you're right.
You know, everybody thinks it's okay on your taxes, okay on this, that, the wife. It's wrong. Everything's wrong.
No, of course it's wrong. It's just. They're back at it again.
Okay,
we thought
moral
we were
judgment now.
It's not moral judgment. It's just, yes, I am biased, but it's also not moral because it's not moral judgment.
So a right and wrong case, and they're wrong.
Right, but also because they
look
bad about it. So anyway, yes, moving on to the games as we can. So speaking of New England, so they start off on Thursday. That's the game to start off the week.
Well, that's against Pittsburgh.
At home.
At home, right? It says you won the Super Bowl, now you're coming back. Everybody's going to Brady, you know, like get this behind us. Best way to do that is win. That solves problems.
Okay.
I think that's the general thinking, that they're going to want to do that. And a depleted staff of Pittsburgh, being the wide receivers out, being that the center Pouncey's
out. Martavius Bryant is out.
Yeah, and the...
Bell, Le'Veon.
Yeah,
Le'Veon,
I mean,
Bell.
That guy's the bomb, right? He's out. What was that from the waffling smoke coming out of the car last year?
Yeah, him and I think it was not LeGarrette.
So anyway.
Yeah, you know, no,
like
you're
it's
right.
It's interesting to us what these people do when they're in their off season.
Well, but and how it translates to the field. So what are your best bets for this week? Who do you like this week?
Well, I'm liking the Eagles until they prove wrong. They really look like a team that... That jumps on you early and stays on you. And the question is, with the new head coach down in Atlanta, right? So this
Dan Quinn
on the road. So Dan Quinn, they're going to be able to put it together. There is some talent down there. I know you're a Matty Ice fan. I really never was.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And you got some good receivers if they're both playing.
True. Atlanta's plus +3 at home.
Atlanta's plus +3. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple actually home dogs. I'm looking around the league as well. But that's one. So you like Philly minus -3.
There was one of the biggest line changes I've ever seen in the first season, first game of the season was Minnesota. They opened up as a 4.5-point underdog against San Francisco, and now they're the favorite by 2.5.
Yeah, they're given 2.5 to San Francisco at home. San Francisco is not a good team.
4.5 and 2.5, due to math, that's 7-point swing.
Right.
And it's not like people haven't seen the Vikings, because they were in the Hall of Fame game and then four games after it.
True.
I think it's going to be, it's be hard to go against that line move. I mean, kind of like in the Vikings. I mean, San Francisco, again, looks depleted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That looks like a nightmare.
Oh, that's a nightmare situation.
And you've got this high-flying team, Bridgewater, right? You came on nicely.
Bridgewater, Mike Wallace, Peterson coming back.
Well, Peterson's a huge story.
Yeah.
So that's where that goes. But the surprise teams in the AFC, I'm thinking I'm going with Rivers.
For this week or just for the season?
For the season. They weren't in the playoffs last year. I think they will be this year. And again, with Philadelphia, until they prove wrong, until all those guys get injured at once and then they can't make
it. Yeah. No, I agree. I like Philly because they're different.
Dolphins are a trendy pick.
Oh, they're very trendy. All right. So you like Philadelphia at Atlanta giving 3, and
I do.
Minnesota.
So there's two road teams, not good advice. Right, early in the year, right? You want to stay with those home safe teams, but
that's right.
I'll reach out for that.
I think
they're
those
still
are
favorites.
Good. Yeah, but I mean, Seattle's a 4-point favorite at St. Louis,
right?
Indianapolis at Buffalo, Miami.
Well, that's
at Washington.
Interesting. Buffalo got rid of Castle.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
They also got rid of Fred Jackson when
I heard he's trying to peddle his wares in Seattle. He wants to run with Lynch again.
Well, him and Lynch are good buddies from when Lynch was with Buffalo has gotten rid of both Marshawn Lynch and now Fred Jackson. You could say Fred Jackson might be not as good as he was, but Marshawn Lynch, that's amazing. The fact I still can't believe that they gave up Buffalo. They gave up on Marshawn Lynch. They traded him away.
Well, I mean, like people are trying to judge, people act the way they dress. I'm more interested in how do you play ball.
That's true. A good point.
I mean, the league tried to vilify him before the Super Bowl. Wearing the wrong color shoes, can't do this, won't talk to me. What kind of stuff is that?
Yeah, that's a good point. So, all right, so you like those
games. Buffalo's got, they're starting that kind of running around, scat back quarterback.
Oh, what's his name?
Right.
Darn it. Tyrod Taylor, yes.
So, I mean, this guy looks a little light to fight and thin to win. So the question is, how long till he gets beat up and can't play? And now you got rid of Castle. I don't know if they can bring him back. Then you got to go to the turnover machine. So there's stay tuned to the Rex Ryan drama.
Yeah.
And all pressure on defense.
Yeah, nothing new there, I suppose.
Right.
So that's coming up. All right. And then first fantasy games start this week. Our league is set and ready to go. My personal league is ready as well, and I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good season.
Besides Luck and Rodgers, who would say some top picks besides those two in fantasy drafts across the country?
Oh, well.
Many people do this.
Right. Well, I go with quarterbacks first because,
right.
To me, quarterbacks, they stay the healthiest.
Yeah.
Running backs are so up and down.
So besides Luck and Rodgers.
Luck and Rodgers were the elite quarterbacks. Adrian Peterson. Le'Veon Bell, even though he's been out, he still performed well.
Right.
Jamal Charles was the big one. Eddie Lacy, Antonio Brown at wide receiver. Those are big. Odell Beckham Jr. That's a big one as well. Dez Bryant.
Right.
Those are big ones. Julio Jones was also a big one too. It's mainly dominated by running backs. It's always been dominated by running backs.
They get the call at the goal line.
They get the
Will
call.
Will the 2-point rule changes matter?
Well, you know what? I also want to bring that up to you. Well, first of all, will it matter? In fantasy, yeah, it's going to matter a lot because 2 points you get a point for that. You get points for that. So that's going to be big. And you saw a lot of teams go for two, but I also want to ask you from the betting standpoint.
Right.
Because now... It used to be, everything was basically in sevens, if touchdowns by sevens. You know.
Well, actually, but since the 2-point rule, we've had exposure to that.
Right. But now it's really up in the air.
More common.
Because looking at some of the preseason scores, I'm going, where did that math come from? And I go, oh, right, the extra point is no longer an automatic. Because I'm looking, I'm like 20, right. I think it was like 29. Here's my question. I was like, how'd you get 29?
What do you normally do when they line up to kick the extra point?
I kind of take it off.
Go to the bathroom, go to the refrigerator. Like,
yeah, pretty much. You just wait for the commercial break and you watch the highlight.
Okay,
will this
rule change keep you in your seat?
No.
Okay, so then it's not going to be that effective.
Unless it's a close game. The only way that that's possible is unless it's like, oh, they're down by one. This could tie the game or just, oh, no.
It'll add drama.
Yeah. Now you're going to see more teams going for a two-point conversion, obviously, in that case. What team do you think is best suited for that? Because you have to say New England because they always go for two. Well, they always go for two. Or not always, but so much. So New England might seem like a good one.
Philly.
And you know what? Going back to Philly for a minute. So they trade Matt Barkley,
yes,
the third-string quarterback.
Yes.
Everybody thinks Tim Tebow is going to make the team because also he has specialty at the as a two-point conversion.
But I was never on that. I thought they brought him in for reps and for a character build.
True.
Like he's the good guy.
Yes.
You know, after that stuff of accusations about who was released from the team and all that. So you bring the goody-goody in.
But now...
I watched him running up the right sideline with the ball in his left hand.
Right.
I mean, the guy just doesn't have football sense.
Right. But what I'm saying is, so they cut him. So now they go out and find... Yeah. Basically, the third-string quarterback, Matt Barkley, whoever they were going to find, would that quarterback really be better than Matt Barkley at third string?
Well, I think Belichick's made a great career of just cutting people that you don't suspect at the very last moment.
He did that with Jonas Gray.
Well, you're going to show he did that with Lyman, the center. He did that with all kinds of people.
Yeah.
I did that with Rodney Harris, and he did it with some really good players. So yeah,
Adam Vinatieri.
But this guy, Barkley, was not the answer, right?
No, he wasn't the answer.
Right.
But just in an emergency, was this guy who's been with the team for a couple
of
years
now?
So then
are they going to have a third quarterback?
Yeah, they signed I think it was a Jaguars cut. I forget who exactly it was.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, is this guy better? A guy who just...
Yeah, so who signed him? Who signed Barkley?
No, they traded him to the Cardinals, to Arizona.
Okay.
So he'll do well in Arizona. He'll back up Palmer and who's the other guy who's over there?
Yeah, but he's not... He's,
no, I...
He's forgettable.
I understand that. But really, was he getting rid of him going to help the team?
I wasn't going to hurt him either.
True. That's a good point. So
and he doesn't play special teams, does he?
No.
Okay,
no,
so he can move on.
But at least Tebow could have possibly done that. So... all right. Well, I think that's it. If there's anything else I can't think of. So thank you very much for joining me this week, Dad. I appreciate it.
Enjoy.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. So, keep track of us. You can call us 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. Take care. Andrew, please, if you will.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.